This is Matthew Skeshevaz, spokesperson for United for Peace and Justice. Today, the New York Civil Liberties Union filed a federal lawsuit on behalf of United for Peace and Justice, the organizers of the February 15th anti-war mobilization in the United States. The lawsuit charges that the City of New York is violating the First Amendment by denying a permit for the march. We are seeking an injunction to order the city to let the march proceed. A hearing is set for Friday at 3 p.m. before Federal District Court Judge Barbara Jones in Manhattan. In the meantime, we are going full steam ahead with plans for a massive march and rally on February 15th. We have been getting an overwhelming response from people all around the country and around the world where marches are also planned on February 15th. To make your opinion heard, please call Mayor Bloomberg's office at 212-788-3040 or 212-788-3210 and tell him to let the march proceed. For more information, please visit our website at www.unitedforpeace.org. Thank you.
It's 7:03. You're listening to 99.5 FM WBAI. Off the Hook is next. Good evening. Is Emmanuel there?
Continue on the current road, 16 miles. Continue on the current road, 16 miles.
Hello.
Are you there?
No, it's this GPS computer. It won't shut up. I'm going to have to... Okay.
I told you to get the boy.
I turned the car off because, after about 12,000 miles with this thing, I think we're starting to get on each other's nerves. And it's barking out orders to me that I have no intention of following, and I've done some things to sabotage its systems as well. this trip is coming to an end. We've been on the road since January 6th, and right now I'm just outside of Buffalo, which means I'm in the right state, just the wrong city. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be there at the meeting at Citigroup on Friday for the 2600 meeting. I really wanted to be at the show tonight. I tried. I really did. But, you know, this is a really big country, and it takes a long time to get places.
And there's a lot to see.
A lot to see. There's just a lot of roads to go over, and we've also had a lot of snow because we've been going back in the northern part of the country. And I guess, you know, we kind of expect to see a lot of snow. It seems to always hit at night when you're driving and when you're on an interstate and you don't even know where exactly the lanes are. An 18-wheel truck goes zipping by at 70 miles an hour and completely blind you. It gets a little nerve-wracking.
And when we last spoke to you, you were in California. How exactly, what was your route to come back?
Well, basically, when I talked to you last, I was in San Francisco. And since then, I've driven through the Redwood Forest, which is pretty spectacular, I must say. Never seen those before. Through Portland, Seattle, and then the tip of Idaho. We checked that route too, you know, very northerly road in the United States. That got to be a little slow and tiny, so we went back down to the interstate around Montana. Montana took 2 days to cross at full speed. And then to North Dakota and Wisconsin. Yesterday, Chicago, and now we're in Buffalo. Got to loop around and head down to the city.
While you were in Chicago, did you get a chance to see the illegal art show?
No, I did not get a chance to see that. We got in a little too late for that. I did meet up with a bunch of people, though, from the 2600 meeting there, and we had a lot of fun doing all kinds of interesting things. I'll talk about that a little bit later. I've seen a lot of interesting sites. I've visited a lot of cool people, and, of course, this is all having to do with Kevin Mitnick's, ascension into freedom, where he no longer has his supervised release to worry about. And it's funny because, you know, traveling around, you turn on the radio and you listen to various stations, and twice I've come across Kevin Exit talking on the radio on some call-in show. So it's pretty neat to actually hear people that you know on the radio.
Yeah, I know he's been busy.
He's been very busy, yeah. And it's quite a kick to hear him on the radio talking to various people and answering questions on the phone. So, yeah, it's been great for him. We're getting more and more footage, and you know, it's now we get to work on the DVD and various other projects that we're working on. Among which, I should point out, we have a fundraiser at WBAI that's coming up. I believe it begins next week. We're not going to be on next week. Next week at this time, we will not be there. But in 2 weeks, we have a special expanded show that begins at 7 o'clock, and we'll be doing all kinds of fun things there. But one thing I wanted to ask listeners, if people could write in for this, mail us at oth@2600.com with suggestions as to things, 2600 things that you would like to see. We've been talking to people across the country about this, getting all kinds of suggestions. Some people want us to come out with hooded sweatshirts. Some people want us to come out with coffee mugs. You know, there's all kinds of merchandising things, and we don't always, you know, think rationally as to what people actually want. So if there's something you think we should have out there, we can do this in conjunction with the fundraiser in a couple of weeks, because we'll have some of those things hopefully available pretty soon. But we'd like to know what people are actually in the mood for. I know over in Germany, the hooded sweatshirt for Chaos Computer Club are very popular, but I'm not sure if such a thing would work here.
Well,
a particular type of you know, cowboy hat or something. I don't know. It's very hard to ship.
They have the CCC jackets as well, which are very nice.
Yes. Maybe something along those lines. CCC jackets, which look like FBI jackets, you know, that kind of thing. There's a world of possibilities out there. When you talk to people all around the country, you get inspired to do all kinds of things. But, you know, there's always one person that forgets to turn the cell phone off.
No, that's not a cell phone. That's the phone you called in on earlier.
Oh, really?
That has to be in here, yeah.
That phone has to be in there now. That phone usually is in a different room.
I know.
Wow, things have really changed.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the changes here. Since you've been gone, we got hardwood floors, we've got curtains on the windows. Not all the windows. Some of them have mini blinds.
Oh, we didn't have windows last time I was there, so that's a revelation, too.
Sure.
I hear, though, that they're taking it out in the coming weeks, so you won't get to see it.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, you know, I'll drive like crazy tomorrow and get there late at night and run in and take one last look at it.
Yeah, but don't leave Buffalo without trying the wings.
We had talked a little bit before the show about this, and I didn't really get to talk in detail about it with you. But you were telling me that the wings are different than they are in any place else, and obviously I know that they, you know, it's not quite as hot as it is in other places. So we're going to ask for the hottest possible wings, you know, ones I think they call Suicide Plus.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
Yeah, you think I should do that?
Yeah. I spoke to you before. I warned you. You want to keep playing? Go ahead. That's where they started Buffalo Wings.
You can tell when someone's being tongue-in-cheek, and I'm very good at that.
So okay.
Obviously, I'll take you at your word.
I had them at the same place that you're going to.
What was the name of the place again?
The Anchor Bar.
The Anchor Bar, yeah. So if anyone wants to meet us after this radio show, and they happen to be in Buffalo, but don't do it if you're not in Buffalo. It's not worth all the time and expense of trying to get there quickly. That's where we're going to be shortly after the show, like maybe a half hour after the show, we'll be at the Anchor Bar. And I don't know how you'll be able to tell who we are. There'll probably be our paramedics around us.
Yeah, with the paddles.
We'll see. But anyway, as far as changes go, one very major change has to do with New York City and the phone company. And I understand that you now have to dial the area code. Is that right?
Yeah, Mike can tell you about that.
I can.
I can tell you about that.
Yes, apparently now in New York, you have to dial 1, the area code, and the number. So that's 11 digits to dial anybody, anywhere in the country or across the street. 11 digits you have to dial.
Has it been tested thoroughly that you cannot dial 10 digits, leaving out the 1?
Well, what happened is that they tested the system when it was to Chunan, and they messed it all up. So now, from last time I checked, you could dial both 7 digits and get through, and 11 digits and still get through. So now it works both ways. Before, if you dialed 11 digits, you'd get a message saying you do not need to dial an area code with this number.
Okay, well, officially, does anyone know if it works without 1 plus, like from a home phone or office phone or anything like that?
Well, I tried it 2 days ago, so it works without the 1.
Uh-huh. And that was from where?
That's from my home. That's from Staten Island to Brooklyn.
Okay. Has anyone else tried it?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Well, you live in New Jersey.
That's
so
right, yeah.
Mike, you have a cell phone, right?
I have a cell phone.
Okay, now, one of the joys of having a cell phone is that you can call other cell phones without putting in the area code. Has that changed?
I don't know very many people who have the same area code. of cell phone as I do, so I don't take advantage of that feature.
Well, do you dial people randomly and, you know, in your area code?
You know, I don't.
Well, that's why you don't know anybody. That's how you meet people. Dial randomly.
I'll have to look into that.
Okay, well, what we'd like to find out from our listeners in New York City and environs, you know, 718 as well, if certain things work for you. Is it only OnePlus that works for you, the OnePlus area code, or can you dial area code plus number? Can you dial 7 digits? Can you dial 1 plus 7 digits? Try everything. And those people with cell phones too in the area, let us know if you're now required to dial an area code for phone calls. It's really ridiculous. It's really silly and completely unnecessary. But yep, that's the way they've designed the system.
Mike's got his phone here. We can put him to work.
Does he have somebody to call? Or?
You know, I really don't, actually.
Well, you know, that other phone, the phone that wandered into the studio from the other room, you could also put that to work.
We could.
That goes out to a regular 212 number. And, well, people can experiment with that quietly while we talk. That would be certainly appreciated. What I'd like to know is, has this caused anyone on our staff, has it caused them any problems so far?
Apparently not.
Damn, it didn't cause you any problems?
Oh, no, my problems are totally unrelated to this.
Okay.
Okay, I just got a note here. One of the people working here got to call the station without dialing the area code first for New York.
Really?
Yeah.
And they were somewhere else outside the station?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
How about that? So, as of February 1st, it was supposed to be mandatory, so maybe it's not so mandatory anymore.
They last time I heard it was in the news that they moved the whole program back for like 4 weeks. So it's next month that it's going to hit in.
Hold on a second. It didn't take effect on February 1st?
It was supposed to take effect, but the system messed up and allowed you to call both 7 and 11 digits and still get through. So they decided to fix the system, whatever that means, by fixing it. So the new official date is somewhere like in 4 weeks.
Has anyone else heard this?
No, I haven't.
Apparently not. Okay, well, that's interesting.
I trust Leo.
I'm sorry?
I trust Leo, though.
Oh, yeah. It's just you'd think that the word would get out a little bit more.
Well, it didn't get out well for the institution of dialing the 11 digits, so I'm not surprised that delaying it has not gotten out.
Well, I haven't been around, so I don't know what kind of push there was in the final weeks, but I know that it's been announced, like, you know, months in advance. I don't know if that would have done much good for most people, but, you know, it doesn't really affect anything I do very much. Just, you know, you have to dial some extra digits sometimes. But there are people with all kinds of speed dialing and, you know, fax machines and modems and things like that. They get awfully confused and things don't go through.
Everything has to be reprogrammed.
Yeah, everything has to be reprogrammed. And, you know, that's why I'm looking for any kind of story of people that have really, you know, maybe died from something or just been terribly inconvenienced, you know, whatever. Whatever comes up. So if you have a story like that, please let us know.
We did receive some email before February 1st from our friends at Panix, who were, I guess, in a panic because they were worried that they were going to have customers unable to, you know, figure out how to reprogram their modems to reach their internet providers. And all this change happened on a weekend when they were, you know, short-staffed anyway. But apparently, I don't know, we haven't heard from them since.
Well, that's because they can't dial out, so no one's heard from them since.
All I know is here in Philadelphia, we can still dial 10 number numbers.
Bernie, I forgot you were on the line. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
10 number numbers.
We can still use the infamously named 10 number numbers here in Philadelphia.
As featured in Freedom Downtime, we had a little excerpt for there explaining the 10 number number.
At Bell Atlantic at the time had decided to call there when they switched over to 10 or 11 digit dialing. They dubbed them with a big publicity campaign as 10 number numbers. Not 10 digit numbers, but 10 number numbers.
Uh-huh.
And we can still use them here in Philadelphia.
So now you don't have to dial 1 plus to dial another 215 number from 215. You can just dial 215 plus.
That's right.
Now what if you put the 1 in anyway?
It works too.
It works too. Now when you dial, say, 212 from 215, you have to have the 1. And if you don't put the 1, you get scolded.
Yes, it just gives some error message.
My question is, if
it's
they can
stupid.
Scold
I mean, if they know to scold you, they know how to route the call.
Yeah. So That's pretty weird. It's a strange system, and I think it's just because they have very bad programming, which is why this happened in the first place.
Who would we blame? Would we blame that on the former Bellcore company, Telcordia, or is it just from the local exchange carriers that are to blame for this?
I personally blame the people that planned out how to deal with number exhaustion. They had some options that would have resulted in retaining the geographical nature of area codes, namely adding a digit to the area code or even adding a digit to the phone numbers. Yeah, it would have required a lot of reprogramming of switches, but we're going to have to do that anyway. It's just a question of putting it off. And now, when we do run out of the expanded area codes, there's not going to be any rhyme or reason to the numbering scheme. You know where area code 773 is. You know where 585 is. I think I'm near 585, actually. But nobody knows where these are.
To use some sort of domain name system where we can just all have names for our phone numbers.
Or, as someone suggested, just use our social security numbers.
Might as well at this point.
Yeah. So that's the main story coming out of New York that we've even heard about as far away as California. When I was in Chicago yesterday, I hung out with a bunch of 2600-type people. And, of course, you always wind up playing with technology and talking about technology and things like that. That's what makes it so much fun. I found out something from one of the people there, which I thought was really pretty amazing. And Mike, maybe you'd be interested in this, if you have a Sprint phone. Did you know it's now possible to send SMS messages from a T-Mobile phone to a Sprint phone?
I did not know that.
Well, I just sent you a message from my T-Mobile phone to your Sprint phone.
Well, I didn't receive it.
Well, I just clicked the button during that sentence, so I don't think you'll receive it right away. But it takes a few minutes. The problem is I haven't found anybody yet who can figure out how to read the message. So your phone will beep, and you may be the first person who can figure out how to actually get the message. And then we can take it from there.
Okay.
How about replying to those messages?
That could be totally beyond us. I don't know.
I'm going to turn the ringer on so everyone will know when I receive this message.
Okay. Please, nobody call Mike during this because, obviously, that will go out over the air as well.
I have an alert from Short Mail.
That's me. That's me, Short Mail.
Okay.
Can you read the message?
I pressed OK to view it now, and it is now connecting.
Yeah, it connects to something, and I always get, like, a web service problem, please contact provider.
Oh.
And the reason I don't want to contact the provider, I'm convinced that they don't like the username I picked out, which is an obscenity followed by the word Sprint. And I picked that because I was so frustrated in trying to pick a username, they wouldn't let me have anything else. I fear they might have turned it off, and it'll be embarrassing to have that conversation with them.
It says hi.
That's me. I said that.
And it has your phone number and the time and date.
But not his username?
No username.
We crossed from one network to another. Okay, Mike, can you reply to that?
I have chosen reply.
All right, well, type a secret message.
Okay.
And I'll see if I get that particular message.
All right.
This is very exciting.
Why don't we talk about something else while I'm figuring out how to use this stupid thing?
Okay, well, you devote all your attention to that, and we'll find something else to talk about.
Manuel?
I'm sorry, Bernie, yes.
Yeah, when you were traveling around the country, did you bring your ICOM R3 scanner or any other scanner-type radio with you?
I did bring my ICOM R3 scanner. Unfortunately, it's been in my bag the whole time because I've just been so busy with everything else. I would have loved to have used it in Mexico and all kinds of other places, but, there's just so much to play with, so much technology to experiment with.
I wanted to find out if you'd run into many local, state, and federal agencies that had switched from analog FM two-way radio to digital radio. Here in Philadelphia, earlier this week, they switched over to a new $52 million digital two-way radio system, which cannot be heard by conventional analog scanner radios like every other kind of police scanner radio most people are familiar with. So basically people are out of the loop unless they want to spend nearly $1,000 for a special kind of digital receiver that was just released by Uniden.
Uh-huh. I do know a lot of people are playing around with such receivers and spying on video cameras, which is always a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
People transmit security signals. In fact, there's talk of a great prank idea. You know, when you call somebody on the phone and you have a little fun at their expense by, you know, telling them the refrigerator is running or some such thing like that. Well, there are many offices that have security cameras in various places, and in some of them you can see people at their desks. Now, these cameras can be spied upon using various scanning equipment. It's all very out in the open and easy to do. But imagine the fun you could have by making a prank call to that person and actually watching their reaction live and maybe even taping it.
Hmm.
Yeah. It could be a whole new realm of prank phone calls. I got a message, and the message says, "This is a secret message."
You're not supposed to say such things over the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I know these times of national, you know, paranoia and all that kind of thing, but I'm not saying anything else. I'm just saying this is a secret message with an exclamation point. Was that you, Mike?
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
And we have successfully crossed both ways, from Sprint to T-Mobile, both ways, sending SMS messages.
That's pretty
good. Go ahead.
I was saying that's pretty good. SMS has been around for years, and they're finally getting it working.
Yeah. Now, Bernie, I'm going to send you a message now since you have a Sprint phone as well.
Ooh. Now, I'm on that phone right now.
So let's see what happens when I send it to you while you're on it. But, Mike, can you figure out how to actually initiate an SMS message?
I'll work on that.
Okay, you work on that, and I'll work on sending a message to Bernie now.
I should point out that I have a brand-new Sprint PCS phone because they apparently don't repair phones when little parts of them break.
I had a little part of my phone brick yesterday. I was standing out in the sub-zero temperature in Wisconsin, and there's a part of my LCD screen that now has nonsense on it that won't go away, and I think it might be broken. But I don't think I can get another Sprint phone because they'll charge me not only for the phone but to activate it. So
they only charged me for the phone, which was a ripoff in and of itself, but
yeah.
No activation fee.
And you got to see this one.
Really?
This is pretty.
Yeah, it's silvery and
the one with
orange.
A camera in it?
No, I do not want any cameras in my phone. am I sending this to you?
What are you sending?
You asked me to send an SMS message.
Yeah, if you could send an SMS, yeah, you can send it to me, but send a different message, otherwise, you know, it might be confusing.
Yes, of course.
All right. And I'm sending a message to Bernie S. right now.
And, Emmanuel, since you've been traveling in a way all this time, I just have one big question. What'd you get me?
Well, I got you a lot of memories of things that I've done and seen. Of course, a lot of digital photos that we've been taking.
No cheese from Wisconsin?
I saw some cheese from Wisconsin, it was in an omelet, actually, and it was okay. It was great. But I don't want to think about cheese again for a while. I'm all over the place over there.
No bottled Mexican water?
No, I didn't bring any of that. Forgot to get bottled Mexican water.
Okay.
Well, my handset has still not received your message, Emmanuel.
Okay, well, your message was just sent, so it might take a while.
Oh, okay.
And you've got, you know, an older version of the phone, so that could take a while as well. So this is something that that I think it's a lot of fun to play with. Hopefully a lot of people will be doing it. I don't know if we get charged every time we send a message between two companies.
I think you can count on that.
Well, back to my question earlier, Manuel, with the advent of some local, state, and federal agencies switching over from analog to digital two-way radio systems, it's caused quite a controversy here in Philadelphia and in other municipalities where this has happened because people, taxpayers, feel shut out by not being able to hear their public servants doing their jobs anymore. And it's ruffled a lot of feathers here in Philadelphia. And the reason that the city council here says that they switched over to this system is to prevent criminals and other people from listening to the police, getting dispatched for calls, that sort of thing. And there's been virtually no recorded instances of that being a problem here in Philadelphia, but they still felt it was worth spending $52 million to shut the public out. I personally feel that makes the police less accountable when they can't be listened to.
Of course, but my question is it completely impossible for the public to listen in?
Oh, well.
Bernie, we're going to have to wait until May before we can pick up some stuff to listen.
The Dayton Hamvention.
That's right.
You can. Uniden has just released a scanner that is about $700 that will decode these digital transmissions. However, they can also be encrypted, and if they're encrypted, then you're out of luck. That would also be a crime to decrypt an encrypted message over the air. So the Philadelphia police has chosen to encrypt the sensitive communications and some of the other communications they're not encrypting. For some reason, they are encrypting the fireground communications for the police, for the fire department, too. Now, at the scene of a fire where they're putting out a fire, the two-way radios, for some reason they're encrypting those transmissions, which seems to make no sense because it's not like a... you know, where it's a drug task force or something, where you have to sneak up on the drug dealers or something like that. If there's a fire, it's a life or death thing, and especially neighbors in the area would want to know where the fire is, so if it's close to them, they can get the heck out of there or get away from harm's way. So anyhow, it's kind of interesting what Philadelphia has chosen to encrypt and not encrypt on this new digital radio system.
You mentioned that it would be illegal to decrypt this. It brings to mind what people do with satellite television and cable companies, where you know they figure out ways of decrypting whatever encryption standard, however weak they might be using, and occasionally they get raided by people, usually for selling equipment to do various things like that. But what I'm wondering is, how strong an encryption standard will they be using for these police communications, and will they be treating anybody who dares to decrypt them as some kind of a terrorist?
It's a good question. We'll probably see, because the key links are pretty long. It uses something called DESXL, and it's probably not as robust an encryption as the satellite television companies are using. And in the satellite TV stuff, I think, is more of a cloning thing, where an existing account is just cloned into a lot of cards, isn't it?
I believe there's some actual decryption going on. I'm not really involved in that world, so I don't know for sure. But I don't think it's just cloning.
Well, I'm sure it'll happen eventually. Either a key will be leaked, or someone will stumble upon it, and if they open their mouth and get slapped, we'll find out how hard they get slapped. But we'll keep an eye on that issue, because I think it's an important issue. That the citizens who pay their local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies to do a job and also pay for the equipment that they use to communicate should have some sort of oversight, and being able to hear them in action is one way of doing that.
I'm curious if you know. I'm sorry. I'm curious if you know, Bernie, how much money this brand new system cost.
The initial contract was $52 million. But supposedly it's gone well over budget, so it was well over $52 million.
Seems like a lot of money to kind of exclude people.
I thought it was a tremendous amount of money, and Philadelphia has the highest city wage tax of virtually any city in the United States. So that's where the money's going.
Well, what happens if say you find a radio at a hamvention, for instance? That is an old radio that is able to receive these encrypted communications. Are they able to simply turn off particular radios, or once you get one, are you able to listen to everything all over again?
The radios do support something called OTAR, which stands for over-the-air rekeying. So if a radio is lost, the dispatcher can immediately disable that radio so it can't be used to receive or transmit.
Fascinating.
And they can change the keys. You know, they can rekey all the radios quickly as well. So they can just disable a radio, or they can rekey all of them to prevent others from, like, if the key got out, they could just change the key, and then whoever had the previous key would be out of luck.
This is something we should watch both in Philadelphia and throughout the nation and throughout the world. In fact, so if people out there know their local police department, what kind of system they're using, we'd like to hear about that as well. We'd like to know if you've gone to a system that is impossible to listen to or more difficult to listen to. I think people have the right to know this. It's very disturbing when such things simply get taken away.
There's a website where you can get more information about this, and the URL is strongsignals.net. So www.strongsignals.net, all one word. And a lot of these systems have a lot of glitches and problems, too. And, you know, there's a lot of dead spots for these new digital systems where police and firefighters are saying that the radios don't work in certain places. So it's a lot of growing pains with this technology, not the least of which is shutting the citizens out from hearing their public servants in action.
And at the same time, while they're getting more privacy for the police, there's less privacy for people trying to talk on their phones.
And while we're speaking of public servants in action, you're listening to 99.5 WBAI FM in New York.
That's right. Where else could you hear things like this?
Exactly.
But basically, there's all kinds of issues involving locations of cell phones where they will know where you're calling from at a particular time, geographically, where your phone number is transmitted regardless of whether or not you want it to be, and your phone calls are listened in on by various entities. Now, these are all technologies that are being actively developed. They want you not to listen to what they are doing, but those very same people want to be able to listen to what you're doing.
How about that?
Yeah. Let me just point out, I received a message from Mike. Let me make sure this is your message. It started with an open parenthesis, a colon, and two closed parentheses, which I believe is sort of a smiley face. And then it says, a different message. Was that, in fact, your message?
Yeah, that's what I wrote.
That's what you wrote. Okay, so I received that message. You initiated that message. So you figured out how to send messages. I'm going to reply to that message. Just to make sure the reply function works as well. Bernie, have you not received the message yet?
I have not, but it could be because my handset is a rather old one. It's about 3 years old. It does have some features that I like, but I need to update the firmware, the software on it. So it could be that this software upgrade I need will then give me the ability to receive these messages. So I'll do that this coming week, and we'll give it another try.
Okay. Well, it's fun with cell phones and new technology and things like that. Has there been any developments with various issues?
Oh yeah, we have. As you know, Jim's sitting here. He's got some news.
Okay, let's hear it, Jim.
Well, I've joined the ranks of the I'm now a felon. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Join the club.
Well, I can't talk to you about it, unfortunately.
Wait, if you're a felon, you can't talk to Bernie S. anymore. All right, Bernie, from now on, direct your comments away from Jim.
All right.
Face the other way, I guess.
And Jim, I don't know if you can respond to things that Bernie says to us, or if we have to repeat everything for you.
Oh, I think I can probably respond to things. I don't think we can direct things at each other. That's the thing.
Okay, well then, you two are no longer speaking. How long will
Jim and myself be on non-speaking terms, I wonder?
Jim, I wonder how long this will last.
Well, already it's way too long for the show. Well, I get sentenced towards the end of March. I'm going to do 5 years probation, no jail time.
Wait, I have a question, though. Are you not a felon until you're sentenced?
I've already pled.
Yeah, but...
that's a good question.
Does somebody know? I mean, are you considered a felon after the sentencing date or before then?
You mean
not
he's
a convicted felon.
He's pre-felon?
Well,
felon to be.
Oh, gee.
If you haven't been sentenced, then I don't think you're convicted yet.
Oh, okay, then we can talk. Well,
we better get 5 years worth in.
Since I'm a felon to be, I wonder if I can get a registry someplace like Bloomingdale's. Oh, that's bride to be. Oh.
Yes. Well, anything else that this is good?
Let's see.
I got some news stories.
I was asking Jim if there's anything else.
It's just the same old deal.
No financial problems as far as like having to pay restitution?
No, just the financial problem of having no job. So if anybody would like to hire a soon-to-be felon, I'll do anything.
Okay. And if there are any other subway systems in town?
Okay. Well, yeah, but I can do other things.
That's true.
I was an award-winning web designer for a short period of time.
Well, speaking of subways, though, just a brief mention of this because I think you'd be interested. We were in the Chicago subway system, which uses the exact same MetroCard system. Yeah, the cards, you know, work the same way. One big difference, though, their turnstiles suck in the card. Like if you're on a bus, you simply put the card in, and it, you know, it sucks it in, and if it doesn't work, it tells you why. And by the way, if you put a New York City Metro card in there, you get an error 14. Please see attendant.
Did you get the card back?
Did you?
Yep, you get the card back. I did not see the attendant, but...
you should have, because the Chicago cards in the New York system would read like normal cards, except with outrageous information, like $500 worth of rides on them, and the last use place would be a code that I didn't recognize, and last use time would be something impossible, like, you know, the year 3945.
Did it actually open the turnstile?
No.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of cards we're going to bring back just to see what they do over in New York as well.
We had a caller call in and say that technically I am a felon, so I'm not talking to Bernie.
Okay, oh. So let's impose the silence, and this would be for what, 3 years, 5 years?
Five.
5 years? Wow, so in 2008.
It gets even more interesting. They've already told me what I cannot carry. And I can't imagine them ever having enforced this previously in New York, but this is what the law says. I can't carry a lighter, matches, a box cutter, spray paint. There's some other absurd things. Next time I'm at the probation office, I'll copy it down.
Do you have to surrender your...
It's fortunate you don't smoke, because if you did, I'd wonder how you'd light up.
That's what I'm wondering. I guess you have to, like, sit in your car and smoke and just use the lighter at the car.
Or maybe they're trying to break all felons of the smoking habit.
Well, that would be good. You're not going to be able to smoke in New York jails pretty soon.
He can carry flint and steel, though.
Oh, I guess I could.
Yeah, so you can still smoke.
Unless it's a blade that you're striking a steel.
Oh, yes, your blades must be under 4 inches.
What about the sword? You can't carry that anymore?
No, but I had given up the sword. I had gone for the two-headed axe.
Leo, you had a story. Let's take some phone calls after we hear from you.
Okay, there's a few of them, but I'll mention only a couple. There's one about a Japanese scientist who invents a quote-unquote invisibility cloak. Basically, a Japanese scientist has developed a coat which appears to make the wearer invisible. The illusion was part of a demonstration of optical camouflage technology at Tokyo University. It's the brainchild of Professor Susumu Tachi, who is in the early stage of research he hopes will eventually make camouflaged objects virtually transparent.
Now, does anybody have any video of this?
I have a photograph. I'm going to say how it works first. Just basically,
wait a second, Neo. I want to go back up to your first comment. You said this appears to make the wearer invisible. Isn't that sort of a contradiction in terms?
You sort of. It's not really all that good, the technology. There's a photo here that he printed off the webpage. The guy is wearing a shirt, and it looks like you can see through him. But because of the technicalities involved, there's a camera on the back. The perspective is a bit off, and it's obvious that it's a guy wearing a shirt that is essentially a TV screen.
Well, it's a step, you know. It's a step towards being invisible, and that's what we've all yearned for many years.
Is there a picture online we can look at?
Yeah, I can give you the news story. It's going to be way too long. It's at ananova.com. And basically do a search for S-U-S-U-M-U space T-A-C-H-I.
Or just look for invisible cloak on the net.
One more time. What is that?
It's ananova.com. That's the website. And look for the name S-U-S-U-M-U space T-A-C-H-I.
Or how about people just email you and get that from you directly?
Okay. But my mailbox is going to fill up really fast. Actually, I'll give it out. It's leo@eneman.com. That's Leo, L-E-O, at ENAMON.com.
All right, our phone number, 212-209-2900, for people out there that want to call in. Share some information with us. Jeff, do we have a full switchboard?
Oh, yeah. You ready?
don't think Rebel first. Please don't do that.
I'd like to have one show that was just Rebel-free, and we're going to try tonight. I'm using the very scientific EMMM technique.
It's the proper name Rebel for those who might be listening for the first time. We like Rebels in general, but the, you know, the proper name with the capital R. Let's just give other people a chance. Go ahead.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. I don't want to talk about the metric system again. I just want to mention Manuel Goldstein. You may not know this, but he's in the New Yorker, fairly close to the front of the book about Kevin Mitnick.
I had heard that. Yes, there's a story in the current New Yorker. I think it's still on the stands about
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, it's the current. You and Wozniak showed him how the world is.
Yeah, we told him what was up.
And you said, "Don't be freaked out by advertising." Okay, that's your quote. That's all
that
I wanted to
quote.
Say.
I did say that, and I said to a lot of people, fight advertising, but don't be freaked out by it because it's everywhere and you got to do something about it.
Ignoring it is always a good idea. All right.
Thank you very much. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to mention that.
How does it feel? How does it feel, Rebel, to be mentioned by name like that?
Okay.
I think it's ironic he's number two, but anyway.
Right. Rebel, you have a sentence. Make it a good sentence.
All right, I'd like to mention that everybody wants a toll-free number now. Even local numbers, like for, let's say, the New York City Department of Health, they change their phone number.
Right, that was a period, so that's the second sentence.
They've changed their phone number to a toll-free number. And what it is, it's like one of those toll-free numbers where it's an 888 or 877 or whatever. And, you know why they're having those toll-free numbers like that?
Why?
Because guess what you get when you call a toll-free number?
Call the talk line at 800-400-TALK for exciting people nationwide. 800-400-TALK.
Okay.
That's what you get when you call an 800 number now. All that, like, 800, if you wanted to call, like, 800 healthcare or something.
Wait a minute. That wasn't specifically that talk line that you called. You called another number and got that?
Yes, he did.
Wow, that's wild.
Well, whatever it is, it can't be as bad as what we get when we pick up the phone sometimes.
Okay, somehow that call dropped out. It was not me. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, so, I had problems with the 1212 thing. My modem wouldn't connect to Earthlink. So I had to reset everything to 1212 plus the numbers.
But it's working now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's working now. And the Adenova thing. That's a little bogus. The picture that they show there is it's actually what's happening is they've got a projector at the position of the camera, and the person wearing the cloak, it's like a self-reflecting back. It's they have a camera behind the person and a projector at the position of the camera, and they're it's the same technology that reflects like your car headlights back at you off street signs.
So it's really almost
a fake picture, or at least the Adenova story is just doesn't know what they're talking about.
Even with all this, it doesn't look very convincing.
Yeah. It's just a demonstration of possible technology. It's really not even there at all.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, what I'm going to also mention is that...
All right, that's it. You may not use the phone anymore.
Okay.
I'm echoing.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I've been noticing with the 11-digit dialing that there are certain numbers that I can dial and certain I can't, and they seem to depend on what the first number of the phone number is.
Ah, in what way?
Well, if it starts with a 2 or with a 3, I don't have to dial the 11 digits or the 10 digits. And if it starts with a 6 or a 9, which, higher numbers, it seems to be that I have to.
Now, but this depends on your area code. Someone else in a different area code may have different numbers that they're close to.
Oh, sure, or in a different exchange. I have no idea. I'm just pointing out what happened on my phone.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
can you tell us your area code and exchange?
Oh yeah, it's 212-473.
Okay, so that's like downtown Manhattan, right?
Yep.
Okay, so people there, you're saying you were able to dial us with seven digits?
Right, I can dial like the 674 exchange or the 966 exchange, which are not as close to me as like the 253 exchange.
Uh-huh.
But with the 253 exchange, I have to dial the entire 11 digits. Or I get that that punishment tone.
Yeah. Did you have to dial the East 9-11 digits to get to us?
Yeah, I did. I had to dial the whole thing for you. You guys start with the 2.
Have you tried dialing without the 1?
You mean just dialing the 212?
And the 2, yeah.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'd be curious to know if that works, if you're able to dial 10 digits instead of 11.
Yeah, my theory is they just did a crappy job putting this thing together, and it just doesn't work right.
That's
it's not part of any, like, real, you know, approach to anything.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Two things. One for me. Kevin Mitnick is defensivethinking.com?
Yes.
And the other thing, while in Buffalo, go to, for Emmanuel, go to La Nova.
What's that?
That's the biggest, best pizza and wings and so on and so on. Ferry Street or Main Street?
Well, you know, I will be there tomorrow for breakfast, so I can do that on the way up. But
don't forget to bring the guys something.
Oh, we'll bring a whole bag of wings, yeah.
I didn't put her up to that, I promise.
No, but listen, if it's good enough for Clinton and his lady, it may be good enough for you.
I don't know.
They had it delivered on the plane.
Let me just ask the caller a question. You're not a native of this country, are you?
What does that have to do?
Well, I'm just curious. Buffalo, I mean, my mother's family comes from Chautauqua County, which is 40 miles west of Buffalo.
Get here.
And Buffalo is not one of those cities that's really an internationally urban center, as far as I know. And I'm just amazed that you managed to get there. I'm very pleased with that. I don't mean anything.
I might tell you of the air how I know. And the phone number to the Anchor Bar is 716-884-4083.
Okay, well, we've already contacted
and if
them.
You,
know
Emmanuel, if you forget to bring the sauces, you may make it up by buying them at Walmart.
Okay. Walmart.
Thank you very much.
Bye. All right.
Thanks. In the cleansing department.
I would love to know where she was from and how she got to Buffalo. That's amazing.
I'll call you on the private line after the show is over.
And Emmanuel, we would accept wings on Friday night if you were able to bring some
yeah,
hot stuff
get,
back.
Get a party pack for, what, 200?
Let's see if I make it out of there first.
All right. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm in the 718 area called, and from my house, I can call my mother, who's in the next building, and I just dial her number without the 1 and the 718.
Okay.
And from my office, I have to dial 9 to get an outside line, and then I have to dial 1 and whatever area code I'm dialing, even if it's the same area code. So I'm just wondering how, you know.
Have you tried it without the 1?
Yeah, I tried dialing 9 to get the outside line and dialing my mother's number, just the number, because I'm in my work is in the 718 area code too.
Uh-huh.
And I keep getting, the busy signals.
Well, have you tried 9 and the area code without the 1?
Oh, no, that I haven't tried.
Okay, that's what I want people to try, because I think there might be, like, you know, some might work, some might not work. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, people who own PBXs can do something to play with the dialing rules. So, for example, the telephone system I live behind, they left me a message in advance saying you wouldn't have to dial the 1212 where I live, which is kind of strange.
Well, here's another secret that if you own a PBX, you can actually control the caller ID that gets sent out from it. So you could have any number you want basically be sent out when people make phone calls if you can control a PBX.
We learned about that this summer.
Yeah.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air.
Oh, very good. I was going to ask you guys if you had heard, well, first of all, I was going to say that I'm actually from Atlanta, and we did this 10-digit dialing thing quite a few years ago. And currently, anywhere in Atlanta, there's three area codes, and you do not have to dial this one. So I'm not exactly sure what kind of craziness your exchange carrier is doing up there. And if I may, one other thing. Have any of you guys heard of a company called Vonage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has anybody had any experience with them, positive or negative?
Not us in the studio.
Okay, because here's an interesting thing. I recently had to move to another area. My friends and family are, you know, still in Atlanta. And from what I understand, I've ordered this box from them. And when I receive it, I can have any of a number of area codes as my local dialing number. So I've moved out of the state of Georgia, and I can have a 404 number that will be local dialing inbound and outbound.
Is this a cell phone or a regular landline?
It goes over your cable modem or DSL.
Oh.
And it supposedly claims that it uses, you can vary the bandwidth between like 56K and 90K. And I spoke to one of their customer service reps this week, and they said they're going to have something called virtual numbering, which I guess is something like what Southern Bell calls Ringmaster, where you can have multiple numbers on the same line. But here's the twist. For like $5 or $10 or whatever they decide to charge, you can have numbers in each area code, like up to three area codes you can have numbers in.
That's pretty fascinating, and it can be spread out all throughout the country?
I'm not even in an area where they provide service right now, and I'm adding a line to my standard telephone line.
Well, we should find out if anybody else has used this company. How do you spell the name?
Vonage.com. I'm sorry if you guys can hear the call waiting there, but I'm...
Yeah, do that one more time. You broke up.
Vonage.com.
Okay.
And what I'll try to do is, supposedly I'm supposed to get the box on Friday. So, like, if you guys want me to call back in and
email
your experiences and stuff...
You can email oth@2600.com.
Okay, and I'll put, like, Vonage as the subject or something.
Sure.
You guys look for it. Okay, cool. I'll let you guys know how it sounds and stuff. It seems pretty cool. You know, the only thing I'm scared about is, you know, with all these technology companies going under, it would really suck if your home number stops working. But it's got lots of cool stuff like forwarding. It'll forward to your number. They have a plan where it's unlimited long distance for like $40 a month. Yeah, there's my girlfriend.
$25.99
on the cell phone.
I'm looking at their website now. $25.99 a month for unlimited. Oh, I'm sorry, that's unlimited local. They have, you're right, it's like $40 a month for long.
Yeah, distance. And you get 500 minutes, but it'll forward within, you know, banks against your minutes. You're like, for me, I'm getting the $25.99 thing, and it banks against my minutes. But you can set it, like, after a certain number of rings, it'll forward, and if your internet connection's dropped, then it'll forward to another number and lots of different features and stuff.
So this box basically has a bunch of RJ11 jacks that emulate a regular analog telephone jack.
Yeah.
And then the other end of it has like an Ethernet port that you plug into your hub or router.
Yeah, they say with a cable modem you can put it outside and it'll DHCP its own address.
Uh-huh.
But if you they'll also tell you the ports that it will to forward through your router or whatever. I'm going to plug it in as a second line on my phone. I have a phone switch in my house. I have a Legend Myrtle in my house.
Okay. Are we out of time?
Yeah, Emmanuel. Yeah. We're going to have to wrap it up. We're going to have to let people know.
My phone's about to run out of battery anyway. So.
Okay. I'll let everyone know that we're not going to be here next week. They're going to have the fundraiser. We'll be here the following week.
For an expanded
show. The 19th.
That's right, the 19th expanded show, right.
Again, folks, email us, oth@2600.com, if you have any suggestions as to additional material that we can offer from 2600, whether it's hooded sweatshirts, coffee mugs, or whatever. Just email us, send us your suggestions. We're going to be at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo after the show, if anyone out there wants to meet us in the Buffalo area. Otherwise, we'll see you at the 2600 meeting. So.
Good. See you Friday. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
And I'm on the Live Monks music. It's a music. music are a godly thing, you know. Listen, we live amongst country in a country. We live amongst this bad people, meet your man in time and say, good morning, Uncle Ness, how you do? God bless you, my son. We live amongst them people, we live amongst people who get up and cuss every day. So me always a Rasta from creation.
Bob Marley was reggae music's central figure, a national hero in Jamaica, and a mega superstar internationally. His songs of fortitude and faith found an audience everywhere. His influence, both musical and spiritual, has touched people of all colors. This has remained true 22 years after his death. Join the Midnight Ravers and special guests as we proudly present Bob Marley, Soul Adventurer, a five-hour tribute in commemoration of Bob Marley's 58th birthday. On Friday, February 7th, 2003, from 12 midnight to 5 a.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. That's the Midnight Ravers with special guests. Friday, February 7th, 2003. 5 hours, 12 midnight to 5 a.m. Bob Marley, Soul Adventurer, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.